Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us today. You know, in Matthew 5, Jesus teaches that the body of Christ is to be salt and light to a broken world. Now, why salt and light? Why did Jesus use this analogy? Well, salt preserves, and as believers, we are designed by God to preserve. Be the flavor of Christ where there is a need. The people of God should be the aroma of Christ, the first one in with boots on the ground, being the hands and feet of Jesus, bringing light to the darkness, exposing the darkness, and bringing healing to the wounded. And that's what we want to encourage you to do through this podcast. Children in North America are in desperate need of families who will love them and pray for them. Teach them how to love and how to be loved by Jesus. Our sweet guest today is doing just that. Welcome, Micah Maddox, to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. We're so glad you could be with us today.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Micah, we're so glad to have you. So why don't you tell our listeners about your family and how the journey of foster care began for you?
Sure. So I'm married to a pastor, and we have three children. We have Hannah, who is 12, Maddie is 10, and Jackson's 8, and then we have one foster son who is 3. And probably about 3 years ago, my husband and I began to kind of pray about foster care and adoption. And we really were focusing on adoption. That was where our hearts were. I'm adopted. My dad was a pastor.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yes. So my dad was a pastor. And when I was 6 years old, he actually walked away from church. He walked away from our family and walked out of our lives.
Wow.
And so big deal as a little six-year-old girl. But about a year later, my mom met a man who walked into our lives, and he was like our guardian angel, stepped in and rescued us, and he adopted my brother and myself. And so throughout my life, as I developed a relationship with my stepdad who adopted us, I began to have a heart for kids who needed a parent. And so I really, really had a passion for children that weren't my biological children. And as I shared that with my husband, he was like, nope, we've got three.
Been there.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, we've got three and we are good. He would say, we have eeny, meeny, miny, no more. And so I shared my burden. He said no. And then I asked him, would you just pray about it? So we began praying about it. And it wasn't like this holy fasting and praying. It was like God would put it on my heart, I would pray. God would put it on my husband's heart, he would pray. And once in a while, we'd pray together. And this was about a two-year journey of off and on. What do you think? I don't know. We're not ready. No, we have three. We're struggling to parent the three we have. You know, how could we add another child to the mix? And eventually, God just really impressed upon our hearts to just take the first step. And that would be find out what the needs are in our community. And so we went to an adoption agency and we said, hey, we're interested. We just want to find out, you know, what the options are. So at the meeting that we went to, we did not know that they were going to present foster care. And that really wasn't on our radar at the time at all. Adoption was what we were going for. And they presented foster care. And we got into the car after that 2 hour meeting, and my husband and I looked at each other, and in unison, we said, foster care. That's
wow.
It. That was the answer. So, with that, we knew that was the clear answer after all that time of not being clear. And we took the first steps of actually making an action into foster care, and that was the classes. So we took classes, and in our area, it's like 30 hours of classroom time where you find out all about the possibilities and you find out the needs of the children and really become certified as a foster parent. And even then, through the classes, my husband still was hesitant. And he said, we're taking the step, but that doesn't mean we're taking in a kid tomorrow.
Like, he stood his ground.
Right. We're just taking a step. He's slow and steady, which is great because
it
jump
yeah.
into the deep end of the pool with no water, you know, like, let's go.
I love it.
You know what I love about that, Micah, is that I think a lot of times when people feel the call to foster care or adoption, that they think it has to happen tomorrow. And I know that if the Lord's calling you to something and you're both in agreement that tomorrow or today is the day, you have to be obedient right away. However, if you're both not on the same page, right. it's okay to wait
That's right. Take time. It is okay.
And to be able to figure out your family dynamics. So if you're drowning with three, adding a kid from trauma into the mix is probably not going to be super healthy. So I love the fact that it was a journey for you guys that you – and I felt like it was similar to us when we first started talking about it. It took from the first conversation maybe 5 years before we ever did anything, and I think it was the same for you guys.
A long time.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, just evaluating life and being able to figure that out is really good.
Yeah, I talk to a lot of people who are interested in it, and that's my husband and I both will tell them, you got to be on the same page.
Absolutely.
You know, got to be on the same page about it and just start praying about it. And we found if you start praying about it, God answers.
No, he surely does. Right. I tell people all the time, if you have a heart that if you have a heart to open your home to children, the Lord will fill it. He will fill your tent. Well, Mike, I know your husband is on full-time church staff, and I know you speak. You have great information on your website, micahmaddox.com. Your speaking schedule is on there. So you guys are in leadership. You're super busy raising four children. How has fostering influenced your ministry, your position of leadership? How has fostering influenced that?
So this is such a good question because if you were to look at our lives before we started fostering, you would think there's no margin. There's no way.
Right. That's right. There's no way
because my husband, he is super busy at the church. He also is the chaplain for our fire and rescue here in our county. So he is 24/7 helping other people in our community. And I have my ministry on the side. We call it, you know, it's like an extra thing where I get to share my story and share hope and Jesus with the world. And it's a lot. And then we have the three biological kids and we're in the thick of it. We are right in the thick of that parenting. So, you know, how could we even add this was, whoa, can we really do this? But God really just said, do it. And it was an act of obedience. And as we followed in obedience, our ministries have flourished through foster care. And what I mean is, you know, when I get to go speak and share my story, now I have another layer to add and say, you know, hey, also, how many of you here are in foster care? And I'll usually be able to connect with someone, or if not, someone comes up to me afterwards and says, you know what, God's been speaking in my heart about foster care. Tell me a little bit more. And it's like, okay, Lord, I see it. I see how you are impacting the kingdom through this one decision of obedience that we made of foster care. And my husband, with all that he does, it has just been an amazing blessing, especially with the first responders that he ministers to, because he goes on scene of those situations where the children are taken out of.
Oh, wow.
And so he's able to be there firsthand when these firefighters and police officers are struggling with what they're seeing. And he's able to say, hey, this hits close to home for you. This hits close to home for me. And here's how I walk through it. It's through Jesus. So that's probably the biggest way that it has impacted our ministry.
That's awesome, Micah. So what are some life-changing, maybe aha moments that the Lord has taught you on this journey?
First,
where do we begin, right? Where do
we begin? So many. There are so many. It's true. First, I would say I was not aware of the need of foster care.
Right. I think we'd all agree with that.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah, the need is huge.
It's enormous. And I was not aware of the individual need of each child. You know, as a biological parent, you parent your kids and you raise them and you love them, and you bring in a child with trauma. And even if the child has not been abused or neglect, let's say the parents passed away and they're in foster care, so they still are going to have the loss and the trauma.
That's right.
And then a lot of them have the other layers, the abuse, the neglect.
Right.
And the needs are so big, the emotional needs in our home, that's the biggest need right now. It's just the emotional need and the need for what does love even look like? And you're coming, you know, as I'm coming towards the child, I've seen them flinch and, you know, back away and wonder, and can I trust you? What are you going to do to me? And it's like, no, honey, you know, mommy is not going to hurt you. You're safe here. And so I think that was eye-opening to me to see this whole culture in our, right here in our town. We live in a small town right here in our city where there's kids who have it rough and who have it hard. And another thing is my own kids, opening their eyes, helping them open their eyes to the reality of the pain that's present right here in our world. You know, we can shelter our kids real well. We can wrap them up in a bubble and, you know, we can homeschool or send them to Christian school. And we've done both of those. And we're in the midst of right now Christian school season, and we can try to protect them. But foster care has opened their eyes to a place where we need to show Jesus and we need to shine his love. And I've seen my kids change through foster care, which has been beautiful. You know, kids complain about food sometimes at dinner. And my kids now, if one of them complains, they'll say, you know, there's people in our town, kids in our town who won't get dinner tonight.
That's the
reality. And the only reason they really know that is because of what they've experienced in our own home with kids. So
yeah, that's beautiful. That is a beautiful story. Tara and I've seen the same thing happen in our families, and we see our adult children now married embracing adoption and foster care. And so it is life altering for a family. Absolutely. So you and I were talking a couple of days ago, and so you're now a multiracial family and you had to make a few changes.
Yes. So that has been I wouldn't say a huge change for us, but it has been a change because, you know, you take a child in and it's okay inside the walls of your home.
Right.
You get, you know, my own kids have questions and we can answer those and we can filter those and we can help them walk through it. But then you walk outside the walls of our own home and all of a sudden we're the neighbor who, you know, has a child that doesn't look like the rest. And you know, we've got the looks and we get the questions and kids are so honest, you know, we're out in public and they're like, so is he yours? Is he a dog?
That's what their mom and daddy are thinking. Yes. Just the kids brave enough to say it.
Right? Exactly.
Kids say it. And, you know, my kids will speak up and my son will say, he's my brother.
Oh, I love it.
And I'm like, yes, that's right. It's none of their business anyway, is it?
Right.
But, you know, we have had to learn some of the culture that we didn't know otherwise. And, you know, we've had to learn to comb his hair and how to care for his skin and how to do different things. And for him, for our foster son, we've learned that even as a one-year-old, he was not colorblind, you know, and that taught me I can't pretend like we're one big happy family that looks like everybody else
that's
in public.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I have got to respect and realize that even as a baby, he sees the difference. And, you know, it's been a beautiful thing to see him, see his little eyes watch other people and see other families that do look the same. And then he'll look at our family and he'll look around and he can't say it, but you can see it in his eyes and he's thinking and the wheels are turning. And, you know, I look forward to the day when we can discuss it and we can talk about it. But what I would say to anybody that is maybe nervous about, you know, interracial families is it can be done and it can be beautifully done and it can be the most beautiful picture of Jesus that we can ever see because, you know, the world looks on the outward appearance and they see here's a pastor, here's a family that's taking in this child. In fact, we were in a restaurant on vacation and we had a waiter. A handsome black man came up to our table and he acted kind of funny. And I thought he walked away and I thought, Rob, I don't know. I felt uncomfortable. Did you feel the vibe? And my husband felt it too. Well, towards the end of the meal, I got up and I took all four kids to the bathroom, you know, potty break. And during that time, that waiter came to my husband and he said, are you a pastor? And my husband was shocked. You know, we had prayed before our meal, but that was all we'd done. And He said, well, yes, I am. What makes you ask? And he said, I was that little boy.
Oh, wow. Oh gosh. Oh, wow. I would have been a puddle.
Oh, yeah. It was a good thing I wasn't there.
I could cry right now.
I was in the bathroom. I didn't know anything about it. So afterwards, he said, I was that little boy. And he looked at my husband. He said, you keep loving that little boy.
Wow.
And then it gets better. He says, my son is in the booth right over here, and he's away from the Lord. Could you pray over my son?
Oh, wow.
So he brought his son over. My husband got to pray over him. I come back to the table. I didn't know what had happened. My husband's just sitting there, like, glowing and, in, you know, teary-eyed. And I was like, what in the world? But he said, you know what? If we ever question foster care, we need to remember this night. He was that little boy. Now he has a son of his own that needs the Lord. And no matter, without saying a word, we are shining the light of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
By taking in whoever God puts in our home.
That's right. That's right. We started this podcast talking about Matthew 5, being salt and light to a broken, dark world. And that is such a picture when we open our homes and take in a child that maybe doesn't look like us or you know, we're from different backgrounds, obviously. And when we do that, we are being salt and light just by our presence. And it's not easy. It takes work to on purpose be salt and light. But that's what the Lord's called us to do, to preserve, designed by God to be the flavor of Christ. What a beautiful story.
Mm-hmm. I'm a hot mess over here, Mike.
That's a beautiful story. I know that was personal. We appreciate you sharing. Now, I know when Kevin and I started adopting and my daughters were doing foster care, has there been a shift from what you thought fostering would be, like on paper, kind of like a budget, you know, they look great on paper and then there's something, you know, but has there been a shift from what you thought fostering would be like when you're going through the classes? Was there a big change in reality, what it really is?
Yes. You know, I really anticipated going to the hospital and picking up a newborn baby.
Not quite the same. Yeah.
And loving that baby. And our story is much different. We got a child in the middle of the night.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, the child came with clothes on his back and a little tiny bag of belongings. And, you know, the belongings were dirty with holes. And it was shocking. And we laid there, my husband and I, in our bed, and we boohooed like babies and put this child that was asleep in a little pack and play and prayed that he wouldn't wake up and until the morning. And when he did, we prayed that he wouldn't be terrified.
Right.
So it looked so different than what I anticipated. And as we've gone through it, I thought that we would have children, you know, coming in and out of the home, in and out of the home. Mm-hmm. And so I had prepared my heart for that. And that's not at all what it's been. We've had long-term placements. And so we've developed deep relationship with a child, and we've seen growth and we've seen regression, and we've seen growth and we've seen regression. And so it's looked very, very different than anything I could have ever anticipated. But the beautiful part in it is the growth that we have seen. And one thing that I want to share is, you know, we've seen a child come into the home with a very limited vocabulary, knowing only negative words like no and stop it, or I don't want it, or close the door, and really progress into when he's waking up from nap, he's singing Jesus Loves Me. And he's singing God Is So Good. He's so good too. And he'll put his name in the place of the word me.
Beautiful.
And I'm like, man, you know what? The statistics are staggering with trauma and how it affects children long term. Mm-hmm. But I'm learning that as we are impressing upon a child the name of Jesus,
that's right,
I'm seeing that, you know what, that is in his little mind, and that is being pressed in his little heart day after day after day as I rock and sing and rock and sing and rock and sing with him. You know, I believe, and I'm claiming and I'm praying that the name of Jesus will be impressed on his heart for years to come, regardless of his future.
That is just beautiful. And I know we mentioned earlier, you guys are in leadership, you travel some, but you do have to pull back. And you were just saying, I rock and sing and I rock and sing. And that takes time.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe the Lord, I just think that he replenishes that.
Yes.
Yeah, he does. You know, I have the question asked of me a lot. What about your biological kids? Because if you were to see us, our family in public, our little one takes a lot of attention. A lot. And so what about your biological kids? How can you still tend to their needs? And, you know, are you taking away from them? And God has shown me we're not taking away anything from them. We are adding value That's right. to their lives mm-hmm. by showing them, you know, life one is not all about us. It's about right. the kingdom. It's about Jesus, and it's about loving others. And it does take a lot of time, and it does take a lot of extra effort and determination. And that's why in the beginning I said, you got to be on the same page, you know, mm-hmm. with your spouse. You got to be together in this, because there will be days that you look at each other and think, what have we done?
Why did we do this?
Exactly. Are we going to survive?
Are we going to survive? And that's what my husband, he'll always say, we're going to make it.
Yes, we're
going to make it. We are. And we have. And I believe that we will.
Hey, Micah, I know you get to speak into ladies' lives quite a bit. But just as we're ending this podcast today, and we so appreciate you sharing your story, but what would you say to a family that's maybe in leadership, or, you know, they're just really busy serving their community, supporting their church, ministering to their neighbors? What would you say to a family that really feels led to do this, but they just keep holding back because they're just too busy? What would you say to them?
You know, if they will be obedient to the call of God on their lives for foster care, I believe that God will expand their ministry in ways they never dreamed mm-hmm. or imagined. And, you know, you can't see it on the other side. You can't see it before you take that step. It's the Lord is a light unto my path and a lamp. A lamp doesn't light up the whole street, right?
One
step at a time. I would say take that next step. Take the classes. Go ahead. Get certified. And then see, you know, we were certified in January. We didn't get a child until May. So it's not like, oh, we're going to do this and tomorrow we're going to have a house full of children and pulling our hair out. I would say take the first step, and when God's timing is right, you'll get that phone call mm-hmm. and you'll get that child. And you know, I lean on my husband a lot for wisdom and for leadership, and he's been able to set some boundaries in our family and in our life. And sometimes we've gotten a call and we've had to say no.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've had to say, this isn't the right time, or this isn't right for our family. So tune into the voice of God and lean on your husband's wisdom as he's following God and you're following God together. And I believe that God will expand your ministry.
Oh, thank you, Micah. That's a great place to stop right there. And just if you want more information about Micah, I love the things you write on Instagram and on your website. You're very raw. You're very honest. But it's always encouraging me. But it's MicahMaddox.com, and we'll have that in the show notes. But thanks so much for your time today.
It was a pleasure to meet you and get to talk to you and hear your story, Micah. Thanks so much.
Thank you all so much for having me.
You have been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.